For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Germ Warfare is Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, it is Friday. Great weather here at the bottom tip of the African continent. 24 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in American terminology. I think somebody emailed me and said it's, you times it by three, I think, two or three, and then add 30. I don't know, 70 odd, who knows, I don't know. As I've said before, Americans like to be different with their imperial system. I think it's just America and Japan, I think, that use that system. The rest of the world uses metric, I think. Let me know, drop me an email, germwarfare@tntradio.live. As always, let me know where in the world you are mailing me from. I do so much enjoy receiving emails. I get a lot from people all over the world. And it's so pleasant and it's so warm, heartwarming to know that I am not speaking into the void. There's also a live chat that's open on TNT's website. Jump onto the live chat. Say hi. Zen Farmer. Nice to see you there. Thank you for saying hi. And what else? Alex, how has your week been? I hope it's been a good week. I am in a good mood. I finished my gym workout earlier. I'm feeling pretty solid. Did some deadlifts. I know that my guest who's coming up is going to appreciate that because he's all about winning powerlifting records in the women's category. So for those who don't know, I'm speaking about the one and only Zubi, and I think let's quickly go across to him. Alex, my name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So the champion in the female category of powerlifting, Zubi. Thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Yo, Jerome, what's up, man?
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I only found out about you after that clip went viral.
It's crazy to think that was 4 years ago, man, and where the world is increasingly goofy since then. So I'm not sure how much progress has been made on that front. But yeah, we live in interesting times.
I saw an article this morning, actually, about some guy who got really irritated at this whole trans nonsense. And he's a powerlifter and he decided to compete in the female category and he broke the record. So I think you might now be in second place in the female category, Zubi.
Oh, that was in the USA, though. I mean, my mine was in the UK, so I don't know if the UK one has been challenged.
Well,
it would take a very special woman to break it. Let's say that.
A Ukrainian woman, I would guess.
Maybe a Ukrainian man that identifies as a woman, but who knows?
You know what's so funny? They talk about identifying as a woman or identifying as a man, but in the same breath, they don't know what a woman is.
Everybody knows what a woman is. Whether or not everyone feels courageous enough to say so is a different question, because really we're facing a pandemic of fear throughout much of the world, especially in the West, especially in the Anglosphere. There is a lot of cowardice out there, and that's why these sort of completely nonsensical, goofy ideas and actions have been allowed to go so far. That's all it is. It's not the fact that people have completely lost their senses and their faculty. It's just that people are increasingly afraid to say what is true, and that's a massive problem in any society.
Before we go any further, for those who don't know who you are, let's just quickly do a bio.
Yeah, sure thing. So my name is Zubi. I am an independent rapper, author, host of the Real Talk with Zubi podcast. I'm also an international public speaker. I'm from a lot of places, originally from the UK, born in the UK, raised in Saudi Arabia, family background originally from Nigeria. And I also spend a lot of time in the USA, but I travel the world. I'm a global nomad. I do events all over the world, different continents, different countries, and yeah, also a lot of people know me from social media, Twitter in particular. I've managed to, you know, build a big following, approaching 2 million people across all these different platforms. And I generally try to inspire and motivate people to better themselves and to seek and to speak the truth. That's what I'm all about.
Well, that is very true. I mean, I must admit, your whole entire presence is exceptionally uplifting. And I mean, what is it? How do you wake up in the morning with so much positivity? What is your secret?
My secret is my belief in God and my belief in what I believe I have been put on this earth to do. So I never have any questions about what my meaning or purpose is. My goal is to positively impact tens of millions of people through my words and through my actions over the course of my lifetime, using the different skill sets and abilities that I have as a communicator, whether that's music, podcasting, writing, speaking, or anything else that comes in the future. And so keeping that at the, you know, at the forefront of my mind, that is what has driven me every day for at least the past, at least the past 18 years at this point. I've been very clear on this vision, and it comes from something much greater than myself. So yeah, it's hard work, but it's easy for me to stay motivated. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Well, you and I had dinner a few nights ago, and I left in such a good mood, and I realized that there's something about you that is just inspiring. And before we get onto some of those things, and I don't want to just keep high-fiving you, but why are you in South Africa?
I actually originally came because one of my friends got married in Johannesburg, so I came over for his wedding. And I figured that, look, if I'm going to come to South Africa for the first time in my life, then let me spend an extra couple weeks here and see Cape Town as well and get to know the city. I like to, when I travel, I don't like to just dip into places and not see anything or meet anyone. I like to experience the different cities and countries that I'm going to. So it's been really positive. It's been really positive. I've been in the country for almost 2 weeks now. I'll be heading out soon, but it's been positive. And, you know, I think by coming to somewhere like South Africa, even just for 2 weeks, you can learn more about what that country is really like than you can through, you know, with hundreds of hours of reading or, you know, listening to stuff. There's nothing, you know, you can't shortcut experience. Nothing beats experience. Mm. And I think that's particularly true when it comes to, you know, forming an idea of a country, which is, you know, you can spend a lifetime trying to do that and still not get it all.
Mm. You said that you spent quite a bit of time in Saudi Arabia. That is an absolutely fascinating angle. What is your general view on that? And have we in the West got Saudi all wrong?
I'll be honest with you, Matt. I often say that I think Saudi Arabia is the most misunderstood country in the world. And the reason why I say that is because most countries that people have not been to, I mean, I guess with the major ones, you know, I guess some of the biggest ones, maybe like China or the USA, people tend to have quite a lot of preconceptions, even if they haven't been there. But with Saudi in particular, it's one of the countries with a, you know, not a giant population, but it's one of those countries where very few people have been there. It's not some big tourist destination, and it never has been. I mean, they only started issuing tourist visas 5 years ago. So, but it's a country that people tend to have very strong opinions on. This is something I've noticed throughout my life. You know, if I say I grew up in Saudi Arabia, if I said I grew up in, I don't know, Azerbaijan or in Estonia or in the Dominican Republic, you know, most people wouldn't have any type of strong opinion or feeling about it. They may just be curious. But with Saudi, I find that, you know, a significant number of people, especially in the West, in the UK and in the US, they have like a very strong sort of, you know, negative bias and a lot of incorrect assumptions about it. You know, some things they know might be accurate or have some degree or kernel of truth to them. But, you know, I think it's very misunderstood in a lot of ways. And people don't even like me saying that because people like to have their sort of preformed opinions and preconceived notions.
based on hearsay or, you know, based on a couple articles that they read here or there from a media that they themselves often, you know, say that they don't trust. And, you know, oftentimes, yeah, that's just what I've seen. But my personal experience over there growing up was very positive. I'm actually really keen to go back to the country because I haven't been there since I left more than 10 years ago. So I know it's changed a lot over time. It looks like it's changed in a positive way, and I'd be curious to see what's going on there now.
Yeah, something you said to me, which really, really stuck, is that many people don't realize that if they have good Christian conservative values, there are many overlaps with what you see in Saudi.
Yeah, well, look, I think in the West, again, especially, let's be honest. For most Americans, their introduction to Islam or Muslims was like 9/11, which is like there were a lot of Americans, millions of Americans, I'm sure, who had never, you know, really heard of the religion of Islam or, you know, met Muslim people or whatever. And they see planes, you know, crashing into their, you know, buildings and killing people. And, you know, they're just hearing about Al-Qaeda and terrorism. And all this. And they're like, what's this all about? And, you know, people are saying, oh, Islam, you know, the people who did this are Muslims or whatever. And so I think that sort of mainstream introduction, particularly in the U.S., painted a, you know, an extremely negative and inaccurate picture of what over a billion people in the world actually believe and support. And so I can understand where that sort of bias or misconception comes from, but it's just not, it's not an accurate one. I mean, to judge any group, let alone an entire religion based off of like genuinely, you know, completely radical, violent extremists who have committed a heinous action, you know, that's never going to paint an accurate picture. So I think that's actually a big reason why, whether or not people realize it, that there are those certain notions. Because when you hear about Islam, particularly in the West, whether it's in Europe or it's in the USA or something, you know, it's often when something, you know, when some horrible terroristic activity occurs, when, you know, that those are the only times you kind of see certain things in the headlines. And the truth is, you know, one of the powerful things about traveling and connecting with people and meeting people is you get a genuine understanding of what people actually believe, why they believe it. You see the humanity behind everybody, regardless of their race, their nationality, their religion, their ethnicity, all these things which can serve to divide people and which, you know, have in so many countries now or in the past. And you start to, you see that people are people. You know, anyone who's traveled the world a lot, you know, they'll recognize that, you know, human beings are more similar than we are different. The differences are interesting, and there would be no point and no fun in traveling and meeting all these different types of people if everyone was exactly the same and if we were all just like complete drones with no diversity. But across the world, you know, most people want pretty similar things. Most people want themselves and their family, especially their children, to be safe, to be well-educated, to be brought up with good values. Most people want to have meaning and purpose and community and to live with a sense of morality and dignity and ethics and all this. And sure, there's variations in the way that that is performed and practiced and in terms of what the exact beliefs are. But I think that if you go into these situations not with tons of preconceived notions and prejudices and biases, and you just kind of take people for what they are, and you are respectful and you are curious, then anywhere you go, you'll be embraced. You know, when I came to South Africa for the first time, you know, South Africa is also a country which people have a lot of, you know, people have a lot of feelings about, right? There's many people, millions of people who have never been to South Africa. And when they think about it, you know, they think of, what do they know? They know apartheid, they know Nelson Mandela, they know, you know, they hear stuff about violence. They hear stuff about shootings and kidnappings and rapes and murders and, you know, the crime rate. You know, that's kind of what a lot of people think. Those are the things that come to their mind, because in their local media or in their national media, if South Africa is making the news in Germany or South Africa is making the news in the UK, it's not usually something positive, right? It's some, look at these statistics, look at this bad thing that happened, look at this. And it forms people's perceptions. It can happen with any nation. There's people who are afraid to go to the USA because, they're afraid of being a victim of a mass shooting. They're afraid of the police. I've met black people who are afraid to go to America because they think that the police are just driving around, murdering black people. This is the image that the media can often give off. And if you're just getting that, unilateral perspective, unidirectional even, from certain sources, and you're going to miss the reality, because normal life doesn't make the news. That's what I always have to remind people. If something is going viral on social media, or if something is in the national or international news, then by definition, it's not normal, right? All the trillions of human interactions per day that are peaceful and positive, they don't make the news. But if someone goes and does something heinous and horrible, then that's the thing that people are going to see. And so as people who are natural, human beings are natural threat detectors, we're more sensitive to negative than we are to positive, sort of as a survival mechanism. But it's important that as we are addressing the ills of the world and the negative things happening in our countries or outside of it, that we don't lose sight of the fact that actually, most people are decent, or at least strive to be. Most people are not criminals. Most people are not committing atrocities. Most people are decent and they're trying to get on with their life and, be respectful and civil and coexist. And we shouldn't let, a handful of people who are not doing that sort of paint everybody else in this negative light. That's how I view things.
There's a comment here in the live chat from Catherine, and she says, I've been fearful in the past because of the talking points surrounding Islam. And if you contextualize everything that you just said with what she said, how guilty is the media?
Very, but also I believe that human beings, we also have our own free will and our own critical thinking and our own discernment. And it's important to always contextualize whatever information that we are receiving. And it's difficult to do, because people are busy, and it's kind of easier to let other people think for you, whether those people are media figures, or they're your favorite YouTuber, or they're podcasters, or they're, it doesn't matter. They're scientists, they're quote-unquote experts. It doesn't matter what it is. We all have our biases. We all have various prejudices and preconceived notions and ideas that exist in our head without much information or personal experience. We often make assumptions about people that are wrong. We make assumptions about places that are wrong and so on. And, that's human.
I suppose it's how perceptions are created and how we have the free will to choose what we consume. But it is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always a challenge. And I don't think that's anything new. I think that the thing that's changed is technology. So, the average person is bombarded with, probably several hundred times as much information through all these different channels as we used to be, with the advent of social media and smartphones. And the internet in general, we have so much information, we're so interconnected, and there are huge benefits with that, huge benefits to it if you know how to manage it, but it can also come with massive downsides if you don't. The social media and the internet can drive people crazy in all sorts of directions, and you can see that reflected in the, increased rates of people, especially young people, dealing with various mental health issues and things like that. So I don't think the technology overall, in my mind, is a net positive, but I think we need to be more discerning than ever and more in control of our emotions and the way that we, what we choose to consume, and also how we filter that information, because it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for everybody, in the world of social and cultural commentary and knowing what's going on and interacting with all these people around the world. It's beautiful and it's wonderful how connected we are, but it's also very unnatural. None of our ancestors lived like this, and none of them had the tools necessarily to deal with so much information and so many people at such high speed.
So, you know, the best we can do is our best.
Mm. But I mean, the obvious question is, how does one even discern? So what do you do? How do you navigate the fog of propaganda?
Okay, well, first of all, I haven't owned a television for 13 years. So that certainly helps because I'm not being bombarded by mainstream programming all day, every day. With that said, I stay well informed without actively seeking out the news through social media, in particular Twitter. You know, I follow a lot of people and I generally get a pulse on what's happening and I talk to a lot of people. I think having lots of different sources is good. If you're looking at lots of different sources, you're hearing from various sources and they're all reporting the same facts, then you can normally be pretty confident that that fact is going to be correct. If you're looking at things from, you know, different biases and different political angles, and, you know, they might put their own spin on it, but if, you know, if they're all reporting the same facts, you know, you can be confident that it's accurate. And then also just to, you know, do your own research and do your own thinking to some degree. You know, none of us is going to get a 100% clear picture of everything that's going on, nor necessarily do we need to. You also don't need to know everything. You know, there's so much information in this world, and every day there's more information added to the information pile we already have than any one person could learn in a lifetime. So you're never going to be able to know everything, and you also don't need to. You know, it's there's a point of diminishing and then negative returns in terms of just how much you know about, say, you know, the news or what's going on in politics or what's happening here or there, because it can become all-consuming, and it makes much more sense to, you know, be aware. I don't think it's good to just be totally ignorant about what's going on in your society or in your country, because then you can easily be blindsided. But it's good to know what's going on, but maintain some level of a healthy disconnect. You know, stay rooted in the real world. You know, exercise, be with your family, be with your friends, enjoy the sunshine, go out and about, do things, keep your body active, eat healthy food. You know, don't make sure you're not just sitting there in a room, you know, doom scrolling all day long, because of course it's going to make you depressed. Like, why wouldn't it? So it's important to not get totally stuck in the sort of matrix of information and social media, and to maintain that touch with other human beings and with reality and with nature, and, you know, stay in good health. And all of that absolutely helps.
How important to you is routine? Because you are a very, very motivated guy, and I'm wondering if that has an influence.
Well, I travel all the time, so, and I do a lot of different things, so I don't have as hard a routine as probably the average person does. I've worked myself for the past 11 years, and I'm a creative, I'm an entrepreneur, so the way my day is scheduled is a little bit, you know, very different from the norm. But with that said, I have a couple things that are just keystone habits. You know, the most obvious one would be going to the gym. You know, I train no matter what country I'm in, no matter what city I'm in, I'm making sure that I exercise. You know, I do strength training 4 to 5 times a week, and I make sure that I walk, you know, several miles, you know, 10,000 plus steps per day. And, you know, I pray every day, I read every day, I do some language learning every day. And, you know, my work varies a lot, but I have certain things that I just make sure that I hit those things. And it helps to keep me sane, maintain my equilibrium. And it also gives me the energy to do everything else. I mean, a lot of people will say they don't exercise because they don't have the time or the energy to exercise, but they don't realize that actually exercising gives you more time and it gives you more energy. You know, the reason people don't have the energy to work out is often because they don't work out. And that sounds counterintuitive, but it's one of those things that it's not necessarily, yes, it takes time to exercise and to go to the gym or to go for a walk or whatever, but it makes you more productive on all these other fronts, because not just about sitting there and working X amount of hours. It's like how much work are you really getting done in that time? And that doesn't matter whether you are somebody who works for yourself from somebody who is employed. We all know that, you know, very few people literally spend 8 hours a day actually working. Especially if you do some type of office job.
Like, most people are probably genuinely productive for like 3 to 4 hours per day, if I were to hazard a guess. And so, you know, in the times that I'm working, for me personally, when I'm working, I do my best to be like fully in the zone and not distracted. And I find that in 4 hours of, you know, real work with no distraction, I can get as much done as I would in 9 or 10 hours of, you know, procrastinating and being distracted and checking my phone and checking social media and so on. So that's the way I personally structure it. But of course, for different people, it's going to be different. And it's going to be different in different stages of people's lives as well. You know, if you have children, whether you've got one or you've got five, you know, of course, that's going to change the situation. It's going to change the game. But there are a couple things that, you know, I think everyone should have some positive keystone habits that you do no matter what. And those things help to bring that balance and stop you from sort of falling into this negative spiral where people just get very drained and don't, you know, end up feeling like they don't have the energy to do anything. And at that point, people often stop feeling like they're enjoying their life. I think it's extremely important to enjoy your life. There's a lot of positive and there's a lot of negative in the human experience, and we all go through all sorts of ups and downs, but it's very important that you do enjoy your life.
Do you think that people generally are more good than they are bad? Because if I look at your social media, your presence on Twitter, for example, you have a tendency to assume the best before applying a degree of cynicism.
I would say yes. Overall, I do think that human beings are more good than we are bad. Every single one of us, you know, in the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you know, the line dividing good and evil runs through the heart of every man. And that's very true. Very true. It's also essentially, you know, it's kind of the whole biblical and Christian story is based around the idea that, you know, human beings, we have the capacity for both good and evil. We have the capacity for virtue and for sin. It's not as simple as there are good people and there are bad people. You know, we all have the capacity to do both. There can be people who are generally bad who can do something good, and there are people who are generally good who can do something that's bad. But I think it's important for us to, you know, everybody to recognize that we have both of those things. And every single day, you could even say almost every moment of the day, whether we're conscious of it or it's just unconscious, you know, how many decisions do we make a day? How many choices do we make? You know, we're often, you know, we're constantly making decisions. We're constantly choosing how we act. Every time that you are in a conversation with someone, you're choosing your words and how you treat that person. Every time you interact with a stranger walking down the street or somebody in a shop, you're constantly making choices. You can make a choice to just be nasty or to be aggressive or to be hostile or to be rude and to treat people badly. Or you can make the decision to do the opposite. You can make the decision to lie, or you can make the decision to tell the truth. You can choose to be courageous, or you can choose to back down from doing or saying what you should do or say. Like, we're constantly making decisions, just like every day, multiple times a day, you choose what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and how much of it and what it is. Like, you are totally, you know, we're totally in control of so many things when it comes to our own behavior. But I do believe that the vast majority of people, thank God, are mostly good. I think that if people were more bad than good, it would be very self-evident, because cities would not function, right? A city the size of Cape Town Cape Town, London, New York, Mexico City, none of these cities would fall apart very quickly. People would just be out in the street, going to war, fighting each other. You wouldn't even have, the whole car system wouldn't even work, right? Because, you know, you assume, you trust that people are going to stop at a red light. You know, you trust that people are going to drive, you know, here on the left side of the road, in the USA on the right side. You trust people are going to drive properly and follow the rules and generally obey the laws. And I think if most people were bad and just rejected this, then it would just be constant chaos. So I do definitely believe that most people are lean more good than bad, because I think it's I think the world would look very, very different if that were not the case.
Yeah, but let me just quickly segue into a little bit of darkness for a moment. I mean, you say all these things, and I'm in full agreement with you, and I absolutely love hearing what you're saying. But let's make no mistake, you also have been very vocal and outspoken against all this nonsense over the last few years. I mean, you were on Piers Morgan recently dealing with Black Lives Matter stuff. There is a lot of negativity also.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason why I'm so critical of some of those ideas, whether it's identity politics or it's some of the stuff BLM was doing, or it's all the mania that happened, surrounding the, quote unquote pandemic and this and that, and all the fear mongering and division and segregation and pitting people against each other, left against right, black against white, red against blue, this against that, men against women. The reason why I'm such a prominent voice against those narratives is because they are negative and they're destructive.
Oh, man. Tell you what, the people in the comments are saying that you have to come back in the near future, because they really are enjoying what you're saying.
I'm honored. Thank you.
I don't know where we were now.
I was explaining why...
Why I oppose some of narratives
that are being pushed out there, some of the ideas falling under the woke umbrella, or a lot of the identity politics, whether it's race-based, gender-based, sexuality-based, and so on, because, it doesn't lead to anywhere good, right? It's not an accurate worldview in many of the cases. But also, what's the positive that comes out of it, right? When I look at ideas, I often think, is this thing helpful? Is this helpful to a nation? Is it helpful to society? Is it helpful to teach children that, to teach white children that they are oppressors and they're guilty of things that they never did and haven't done? And to teach black children that they are second-class citizens and that they're oppressed and that white people are out to get to me. Is that going to lead to a healthy, positive, individual and collective mentality in society?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Is it helpful to teach women that all men are out to get them and that they shouldn't trust any man and this and that, to teach men the same, to teach them men that, women are out to get them and that they should, do this? And it's just... It's all divisive nonsense, and it leads people into this self-victimization loop where, everybody is running around feeling like they're a victim and that everyone is out to get them and that the systems are opposing them and that they're never going to make it and that they can't be successful. And number one, it's not true. And number two is it's not helpful. I don't see why you'd want to believe something that is false, which is also detrimental to your life and to your society. So I see a lot of those deceptive ideas that are being pushed. And, it's important to speak up against them because they have got a lot of power. They do hold a lot of sway in society.
Yeah, and wokeness that you're speaking of happens on both the traditional left and right. I mean, on the left, you've got this sort of anti-white victimhood culture, but on the right, you've got everybody hates the Jews. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's exhausting, man. Like, if you're blaming any sort of group of people, especially if it's, based on their race, their ethnicity, their religion, their gender, their sexuality, whatever, you're just broadly blaming all of the world or all of your own problems on this group of people with their, immutable characteristics in most cases, then you're wrong. Well, number one, you're wrong. And number two... How is that helpful? How is it helpful, right? You're the master of your own ship. Right? Wherever you are, whoever you are, your success and your outcomes in life as an adult, that is your responsibility. If you're a grown man or a grown woman and you're, running around saying that, this
group of people or this invisible thing or whatever, that's the reason why I'm not successful and that's the reason for all the problems, then you, honestly, you're being played. You're being played. And it's going to end up becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, because it's actually incredibly difficult to become successful if you don't think that your success is your responsibility and that you're in control of it. When I say success here, I mean, you can think of success in whatever way somebody wants to. If you don't believe that you're in control of it and that the whole game and the system and everything is just rigged against you, and this is not to, you know, say that there's no genuine injustices in the world, and that there, you know, of course there are and there have been, and it's important that we address these things in a healthy and in a constructive way, destroying everything that exists, with everything up from the roots, because if you don't have any foundations, then you can't have any house. That's how it works. Every society, just like every building, foundations.
Yeah, but
and from that we can build up and tear down.
I think one of the major problems, though, Zuby, is that the media and politicians love to play this game of divisiveness. They love to put people up against one another and then watch from a distance as we all fight.
Yes. Yes, they do. But you don't need to fall for it all.
Mm.
Right? I have that. We all have access in pretty much to the same information. More connected than we've ever been. And there's even more awareness of the fact that politicians play these games than perhaps there was in the past. I imagine, 50 years ago, people were generally far more trusting of the industry. They had different divergent viewpoints. They were more trusting of politicians and institutions and authorities and all of that. And so, cool, let's use that, right? That's never been easier to think. So, why don't we do it? If you're aware that the media or some politician is trying to stir up division or even hatred or animosity between yourself and your neighbors, just say no. You don't have to go with it. Just because I see an advert on TV telling me that I should eat a greasy bucket of fried chicken doesn't mean that I need to go out and buy a bucket of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Watch the ad and be like, okay, yeah, well, acknowledge it, but I don't need to, again, and influence absolutely exists, but ultimately make our own conscious choices.
All right, Zuby, just hang on one second. Alex is just going to quickly reconnect you. Shame, man. This is such a complicated day, isn't it, Alex? I feel sorry. Listen, for those listening, You need to send your condolences to Alex. Send me an email, jimwarfare@tntradio.live. Shame, man. Alex is the one who's making everything work when it's not working. So please send your love and well wishes to Alex, jimwarfare@tntradio.live. Oh man, it's just one of those days. Is he back? Not yet. Oh, he's not back. Oh, no. All right. Well, okay. Tell you what, let's just quickly have a look at the live chat. Absolutely. The mainstream media is there to cause divide, because then we are not looking at the real problem. And that is true. I certainly agree with that. Media and politicians, hive mind. Yep. Centralized control. Yep. It's you're right, Sandra. It is possible to ignore, but it is difficult. Because if you look at what's going on, just look at the last few years. Everybody has been fighting with everybody. It has been a very, very tricky time. And you get caught up in this sort of world of negativity and cynicism. And unfortunately, it plays out, and it's difficult to. Oh, he's back. All right, Zuby. Gee, man, it's just one of those days, Zuby.
Yeah, it's all good, man. The Matrix is attacking us. They don't want us to get the truth out there.
It's definitely the case, but you're going to have to come back when you're back in another country. But it might just be because you're in South Africa.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough.
No, I don't know. But okay, look, let's come in for a landing. We've got a few minutes left. If I look at the live chat, people absolutely love you, and they love what you're having to say, Zuby. And you know what? We need more people like you, because the last 2 years have created a huge amount of blackpooled people. And I hate the blackpool mindset. You know, Michael Malice has, you know, you just published a book now about the white pool. This is important, isn't it? You can get caught up in a pit of darkness.
Yes. The thing, Jerm, look, if people don't have hope, look, let me give people a great reason to be optimistic. Great reason to be optimistic is because what's the alternative, right? If we don't have hope, if we don't believe that we can create a future that's better than the present and certainly better than the past, then what's the point? You know, what's the point of this whole life thing, right? And when people give up hope, things go to very dark places very, very quickly. So one reason why I'm optimistic is because it's like we have to be, right? Human beings, human societies have always been hopeful. People have always aspired towards the future, future generations, their children, their children's children, love for their nation, understanding that, okay, you know, look at the history of every country in the world, man. Every single country has darkness in its history, right? All sorts of conquests and violence and wars and some genocides and this and that. Like, human history is really dark and brutal. So now that we're living in this incredibly, relatively advanced time, both socially and technologically, it's like, cool, like let's build from this instead of going back and, you know, dividing people again and fighting and yelling at each other. And it's like, let's build a great future, man. Let's connect. Let's help each other out. We all have different skills and different capabilities and different ways of doing things. So whatever skill it is that God has given you, whatever talents you have, whatever experiences you have, you can benefit other people with them. And that's all it is that I try to do. I'm blessed to be good at communicating. If I have an overarching talent that's the thread through all my different career paths, it's the ability to communicate and articulate ideas. And I know that I'm good at doing that. So I just want to encourage people. You know, if I can encourage, you know, even one person on this call, and then they can go out and encourage other people, then awesome, job done. Because we need more optimism. We need more hope. I also think that given the last 3 years that we've just lived through, where people, you know, regardless of people's feelings about, you know, the pandemic and the restrictions and the mandates and all of that, it was a very polarizing time. It was very divisive. It was very fear-driven. People were literally isolated in ways that they're not usually. People were not seeing one another's faces because everyone's running around wearing these face diapers. People were locked into their own houses. Families were set apart from each other. Friendship groups were split up. There was a lot of confusion and fear and worry and concern. And honestly, we haven't healed from that, bro. You know, billions of people around the world, you know, people want to just move on, but people haven't healed from that. And so I think now more than ever, it's important that we, you know, we don't fall into that doomer mindset, and we don't think, oh, you know, the technocrats and the social credit system and this, you know, we're all going to be enslaved. We're going to own nothing and we're going to be happy. No, you can reject all that. Why would you want to support the, you know, if you don't like the WEF, why would you want to support their propaganda? Why would you want to go out and start parroting their lines and telling people that they're going to win and they're going to take over? Well, they're going to win if you allow them to. You know, these people who are meeting in these strange places in Switzerland or whatever, they don't have the power. We do. Ultimately, the people always have the power. It's not Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates or whoever. You know, they're not the ones with the power. We have it.
All right. Time is very much against us now, Zubi. So very quickly, 30 seconds. How can I follow you?
Sure thing. If you go to teamzuby.com, teamzuby.com, then you can check out all my music, podcasts, my book, everything like that. And on all social media, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Zubi Music. That is Zubi Music.
Zubi, it has been a very challenging hour, but thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Nice one, Jeremy. I appreciate it, bud.
No, I appreciate it as well. I'm going to have to get you back. I can see Alex is sweating. He has lost weight from all the technical challenges. I think Alex needs a stronger drink than I do. Shame, man. But Zubi, thank you. For those listening, send me an email, germwarfare@tntradio.live. Oh man, these conversations happen from time to time where you just get immense amounts of gremlins. But We made it through. We made it through. And if you download the app, the TNT app in the Apple and Google store, you will hear this conversation hopefully fixed up a little bit. Until the next time, we get Zuby on with, I don't know, I'm not quite sure where the break was happening, but it was happening somewhere in the matrix. Nevertheless, I think we soldiered on, and I'm happy with the chat. And if I look at the comments, people love listening as well. Yes, thank you. Despite all the issues of the sound, yes, I agree with that. Despite the gremlins, yes, as I said, send your emails, germwarfare@tntradio.live. Please send me some well wishes for Alex, and I'll forward them on to him. Guess what? It's the end of the week. I'm going to go get a drink. I hope you are jealous, Alex. Anyway, all right. I'll catch you guys on Monday. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.